This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Jace Heffner. Jace is Manager of Global Trade with the U.S. Grains Council in Washington, D.C.
To you, hey, Tony.
Well, let's just talk trade then. And let's talk trade about sorghum. Actually, U.S. Grains Council was started by the sorghum industry, so it's apropos we're talking the sorghum report. What is that?
So the sorghum quality report, this will actually be the fifth edition that we have published. And it's something that we do every marketing year to try to demonstrate consistency, even despite harsh growing conditions, to overseas buyers. But really, other than the physical traits and the chemical composition of the sorghum that's tested, the main takeaway from this report is to show that U.S. sorghum is completely tannin-free. And that really is the most unique marketing advantage that U.S. sorghum has that's most applicable to feed grain application for our overseas buyers.
This may be an obvious question, but why even produce a report? Why is it really important? Nobody else does, do they?
Well, I will say when we go speak with our overseas buyers, and obviously our number one customer is China, they already know that U.S. sorghum is the best quality in the world relative to other origins. But it is important for us to document all of this and have unbiased testing done on it so we can show year to year that U.S. sorghum meets the grading requirements for number one overwhelmingly, as well as that it is tannin-free, which, like I said, is the key determining factor or determining marketing advantage that U.S. sorghum has over other origins.
If we're talking corn, obviously, we'll have some differences year to year based upon weather conditions, which can drastically affect the quality. Do we see the same thing when it comes to sorghum? And how do the numbers compare to maybe last year?
So we generally see the quality is very consistent year to year with sorghum production. I think that speaks to, number one, the durability of sorghum as a crop, as well as to the professionality of the U.S. sorghum producer. But even in previous years, given 2021 and 2022, we experienced significant drought, there is no impact in the quality overall. Very, very little impact, very little measured damage, and, you know, relatively similar levels of protein, starch, and oil and feed value overall. So, no, it does speak to sorghum's durability as a crop.
I know you're touching kind of on the highlights there. And I know one of the highlights will be the big buyer, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But are there some other highlights to the report we need to know about?
You know what? The report looks very similar year to year, and that is the highlight. The highlight is that it's overwhelmingly consistent, even despite drought, despite heat, and despite difficult growing conditions. Definitely the main takeaway is that it is consistent year over year, and that's really what the sorghum quality report is supposed to demonstrate.
Okay. So we can't talk sorghum without talking China, which is, that's good news, right?
It is indeed, and it is, you know, I've said it is kind of a good problem to have. Roughly 60 to 70% of all the sorghum produced in the United States is exported. And of that 60 to 70%, 80% of it is consumed and purchased by the Chinese. So they love it. They know that it's great. And it's mostly used in hog and animal feed, but fluctuating year to year, about 30% of it does go into the Chinese Baijiu market. And there is a huge appetite. It's not slowing down. And so even though the market may look slow at this time, I'd urge people to keep in mind that there is still 500,000 tons on the books that hasn't been shipped yet, just due to tight availability. But once this, we're about 40 days away from the South Texas harvest. Once that comes online, you're going to be continuing to see vessel after vessel go to China, just as in previous years.
So this is kind of a curveball, but we talk about the first crop coming off in South Texas, and obviously you can stick it on the ship and send it out. But if it's going to China, it's got to go through the Panama Canal. How is that looking right now? Are there still some concerns there, or are we sending out Pacific Northwest? I mean, what are we looking at?
Well, I believe most of the sorghum goes in bulk to China out of the Texas Gulf. Obviously, we don't really see much out of the Pacific Northwest, and so it is traversing the opposite direction. I don't believe it goes through the Panama Canal as much, so it doesn't have as much of an impact as our other commodities. For instance, you know, distillers' grains having the Red Sea issues and containerized markets having those issues. It's not as dependent on the volatility in the bulk freight space as other commodities, so we should be able to keep it relatively consistent.
Okay. other markets don't necessarily rely on having to have it shipped. One of the big buyers has been Mexico in the past. Are they there again?
So the buyers in Mexico are very price dependent. Given that U.S. sorghum generally trades at about 150% the price of U.S. corn, we see these Mexican buyers purchasing opportunistically. So China is the number one overseas buyer, and then below that is Mexico, but the difference between that is 17-fold. So that just puts into perspective how much the Chinese are buying. And the buyers in northern Mexico will really swoop in when it's a price convenience for them. So we are still active in the Mexican market. We are still trying to incentivize or, you know, reinforce the notion that U.S. sorghum is equal to the feed value of corn and try to drive those purchases. The Chinese buying all of it is a good problem to have. We have buyers all over the world literally cold calling our office, asking where it is and where it's all going and why the price is so high. And so it's just our job at the U.S. Grains Council to keep developing those secondary markets and not thinking of it as a race to the bottom should the Chinese leave the market, as a race to the top, and focusing on not only the feed grain market but other value-added markets. Pet food in Mexico and all over Latin America, for example, is a target market for U.S. sorghum producers. And so we'll continue to reinforce that notion.
Okay, on the wall behind you is a farmstead. There's some corn growing. We're talking sorghum right now, but I think it works its way into the conversation. For somebody who's back at home on the farm, what do they need to know about the report, and what do they need to know about the U.S. Grains Council?
So, you know, uniquely, most of the U.S. coarse grains are kind of in the same boat in the international space. We really are all more expensive than our competitors. So the work that we're doing at the U.S. Grains Council for corn and sorghum, as well as distillers, grains, barley, and ethanol, is to really reinforce purchasing on feed value or end-use value instead of just the face cost value. And I think that's very important work that the U.S. Grains Council is doing and will really help drive demand for our products overseas.
Jay, so good to see you. Thanks for your time. Keep up the work.
Thanks, Tony. Great to see you.
Jace Heffner is Manager of Global Trade with the U.S. Grains Council on today's Agribusiness Report.